Bonjour.
Comment ça va, mon ami?
Ah oh, oui, ça va. Et toi?
Oh oui, c'est très bien et c'est très excited.
Well, friends, if you don't know what's going on, the reason that we're speaking French in your ears, and I'd also like to apologize to you and to my high school French teacher for my accent.
And to my whole family for mine. I'm such a bad Canadian.
Well, Natalie and I were wondering if you, yes, you listening, want to come to Paris with us.
That's right. We are going to Paris.
We are going. We are doing a retreat. It is called Pleasure in Paris.
And if that wasn't enough, that we are going to teach in the most gorgeous area of Montmartre with the most amazing view of the Sacré-Cœur behind us while we talk about pleasure and desire and activation and living a life of purpose and dharma and our dreams. It is also, friends, my birthday.
It's like, it's literally like you're coming for Natalie's big birthday trip we're having in Paris.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
We're also going to like jam about the universe and your purpose in it.
That's right. So if that sounds like a good time to you and you want to come hang out with us in Paris, we just announced it. Spacing is very limited, obviously. You can check out our website, www.thecreateseries.com, under retreats, and you will find Pleasure in Paris.
And you should know that going to Paris has been kind of a little ritual in Natalie and I's friendship. It's kind of like where we did our deep bonding. We keep going back to Paris. It's like we're having a little love affair with Paris. Mm-hmm. And now you can come join us on that little love affair and be right smack dab in the middle of our crazy friendship.
Oh, it's the most fun. The first time Kristen and I went to Paris together, mm-hmm. I had the longest hair far down my chest. And I came back from Paris with my little Amelie haircut of my dreams. And I have never been happier. So Paris is a place of transformation.
Yes, she was liberated in Paris, and now you can be too.
On that note,
it's a holiday podcast.
Today is our holiday. It is our last podcast of this year. I believe we did 52 podcasts this year, which is exactly one a week.
This is number 52.
That's right. So we were with you in the trenches this year.
Wow.
And this is our holiday podcast.
Are we going to bank one and have one next week? You think?
You know us. We're always going to do podcasts. We never stop.
You never know. There might be a sneaky podcast.
There might be a special how to get through the holidays. You eat too much food and your family's driving you crazy podcast. So, friends, for our Create Holiday podcast, what we were teaching on today in Create was about giving and receiving.
Two of my favorite things.
That's it. And we were actually talking about how most of us were brought up that giving and receiving is a very conditional thing. And we were talking about even the myth of the belief of Santa Claus is sort of a conditional thing. Like, he has a list of good girls and boys that get presents, and, you know, the bad girls and boys don't get presents. It's like the gift giving is conditional on having earned it, on having been good. And we have all been so raised to think that in order to receive, we have to earn it. We have to be good enough. We have to have done something to deserve it. Or our giving can often be done conditionally in that we give to people with an expectation of something in return. So the giving becomes a little bit of a manipulation. Let me be here for you. Let me hold space for you. Let me be good to you. But then when I need something, you better be there.
And then we get pissed and full of resentment when it's not there. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, you can watch yourself go, how come? And we can do this with people, and we can also do it with our creativity and our careers.
Yeah.
And it's this really interesting relationship that we can develop in life when we think we are owed something.
And can you talk about what you were talking about today and Create about time? Even the conditional relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
Like, oh, I've been doing this for this long. It should have paid me dividends by now, mm-hmm. right? It's like,
I'm owed something
time. Yeah. I've done it for this many years and I should have X results by now, right? Mm-hmm. So when we, and, you know, we were talking about that the heart actually has to be relaxed in order to receive. So when we get into this conditional relationship, right, with life, where we want to where we feel tense, we feel clamped down, we wonder why something isn't coming our way, we actually aren't even in the position where we could receive it anyways. Mm. So we've already blocked it by the very nature of how we are looking at the thing that we are blaming for our unhappiness, right? And what we were talking about today in CREATE, which I think is really interesting, is often we develop a conditional relationship with others in terms of giving to others because we have a conditional relationship to giving to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't give to ourselves because we think we haven't earned it, we haven't deserved it, we need to work harder, we weren't taught how to treat ourselves well. And so because we've been holding off our good and our ability to give and receive to ourselves, we can't then have a healthy relationship with anyone else or anything else with it.
Right. It's like whatever we withhold in ourselves, the universe, because it loves us, will actually also reflect like a mirror that being withheld from us. And many of us will then say, well, that person, that agent, that job didn't give me what I wanted. So it's about that. But then it's always the call to say, well, how am I not giving myself that thing? How am I blocking my own receiving of my own good, my own worth, my own understanding of deservingness? I think sometimes it's like we think that there are certain conditions that once the conditions are met, then I will be allowed to receive. I think like as an actress, I've had this thing of like, well, once I lose those last 5 pounds, then I will be allowed to book whatever job. It's like, so those 5 pounds becomes the thing between me and the job. But I created that in my mind. So then if the industry helps me collect evidence for that, it is actually just affirming my rightness, not the truth. And so there's that opportunity to say, well, who says the industry made that rule? I created something between myself and the receiving and then blamed an outside source for it. So my responsibility, and the word responsibility is like your ability to respond as opposed to being in reaction.
Yes.
When you have an ability to respond, to say, oh, I created that, and I have an ability to respond in a different way to that creation, in terms of I can make a new creation, then I'm not always in reaction and blame of something outside of myself.
That is it. Speak to me. Okay, so many things. I was listening to, just on that same topic of conditions, right? And looking at the outside of our life for conditions to be a certain way. I was listening to Abraham Hicks this morning as I was doing my makeup.
And you look so beautiful today.
Really?
Oh, beyond.
I was worried my fake eyelashes were a little crooked.
Oh, no, they're so perfect.
Okay, thank you. So.
It made me want to have fake eyelashes, I'm just saying.
Well, I like to inspire. So as I'm listening, this guy is talking about his romantic partner, I think it was. And he said, yeah, she doesn't do what I want, and it drives me crazy. Abraham Hicks said, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that the most loving thing that she could ever do for you? Right? She's told you you can't control her. Because if you could control her and get what you think you need in order to be happy from her, then wouldn't you expect that from everything else in the world? And isn't the most loving thing that she could ever do is to tell you that you have it all inside of you and that nothing else needs to change in your outer world for you to be happy.
You know, it's so fascinating. My very best friend in the world, Janelle, from my little small hometown in Canada, we're still best friends to this day. She's like my longest relationship. She has a beautiful little son, Henry, and she always says, oh, I'm so ruining him, because literally I am just like, you can do no wrong, you're perfect. And she goes, so it's just going to be so hard for any woman to ever be with him, because any woman that's like, well, you're actually not perfect, you're a human being, he's going to be like, no, my mom said I was perfect. But it is that that thing of we do want to train ourselves. We are the stewards of our own self. Mm-hmm. We want to train ourselves to be in a reciprocal relationship with truth, with giving, with receiving, with right perspective, and self-love and care, and learn how to give those things to ourselves so that when we are in partnership, whether it's with an agent, a boss, a child, a partner, we're not in a relationship of I need you to act in a certain way to make me okay.
Yes.
I act in a certain way so that I am okay. And then being with you is this beautiful, easy, expansive experience where it's just want and not need.
Right. Where we're giving from the overflow. So, you know, Natalie has this adorable children's book that she loves, and we read it every holiday, and it is, give me the exact title so I don't paraphrase.
I think we're going to have to paraphrase.
Okay.
It's something, because there's many variations of this book, but it's something like, have you filled a bucket today?
Have you filled a bucket today, right? So it talks about this like invisible bucket we all have that is our good feelings, basically, and kind of how we see ourselves. So if we can kind of like imagine that we all have this infinite well inside of us of peace, of abundance, of love, of beauty, of creativity, of success, this infinite well within that can fill our own bucket, right? But in order to access those deep, beautiful jewels that we have inside, that deep well that springs up, right, we have to spend time with those gifts inside, right? If we run around the world depleting ourselves, looking for it anywhere else, we're never going to know that we have this incredible, luxurious oasis inside. But if we are with those internal qualities and we fill ourselves up from the inside, then we realize not only is our bucket full, but there's still more. So we start to give then from that overflow. So we want to really dig into those places where we are that. And then when we give from that place, we're not giving with expectation attached to it.
Right, because it is only when our proverbial metaphoric bucket is empty that we give to someone from a space of emptiness. And it's like the giving is, I so desperately need to be filled up that I'm going to give so that you give back.
That's right.
But when we give from a place of fullness, we actually don't need to be given back to. It's like the thing of, I know for myself, like when I'm booking lots of jobs and I have all kinds of abundance, it's like all I want very naturally is for everyone else to have the same level of success. It's only been in times in my younger self in my career where things have been tight, or, you know, I'm on my like 13th waitressing shift in a row and I haven't had an audition in forever, that then when other people have good, I get jealous, I clamp down. And that's when we talk about the heart not being relaxed,
yeah,
right? But when we're all in a place of all our needs are met, we're so abundant, all we want to do is give it away. And that's why a practice like the practice of tithing that many teachers talk about, Tony Robbins says he doesn't know anyone who hasn't tithed for 10 years and become a millionaire. The practice of taking 10% of what you make and giving it away to where you feel spiritually fed, knowing you're not getting anything back from it, is just an offering. It's saying, I already got so filled by something, I'm just creating an offering in the world. And it's that feeling of giving 10% away of what you make never stops feeling scary.
Yeah.
It, you know, if you have $100 to your name, and you're like, wow, that $10 feels like a lot to give away. But if you have $1 million to your name, that also feels like a lot.
Uh-huh.
So it constantly tests your understanding, trust, faith, and it constantly puts your ability to give and receive without grasping, without clinging, really to the test. So it's a really good way to monitor where you actually are in terms of that reciprocation and understanding that it is a cyclical universe and what goes out does come back in.
That is 100% true. And, you know, it's a pointer to our faith. Right? It's a pointer to, do I really trust that there's enough?
Mm.
Right? Do I really trust that there's like enough abundance that comes through the world? And in the same way, I think we do this with love all the time.
Mm.
Do I really trust that there is enough love within me that I don't need to try to tear it out of the world?
Mm.
Or do I trust that there's enough approval within me that I don't need to seek it from someone else? Do I trust that there's enough success within me that if an opportunity passes me by, I don't feel like it's the last one?
Yes.
That we realize we live in this abundant universe and we cannot run out. And the moment we think we can run out or that there is an idea of scarcity is the moment we start to look for evidence for that, and then we create that reflection.
That's right. It's like the universe will never prove us wrong. Mm-mm. So if we're collecting evidence for my partner's a bad person,
yeah,
the universe doesn't love me,
yeah,
we will find exactly that evidence. But if we just decided, even for a week, I'm going to collect the opposite evidence, you would find just as much evidence, if not more.
Right. A Course in Miracles says, which is amazing, that we're only ever upset because we think we see this meaningless world, but God did not create a meaningless world, right? So that whatever we're seeing is just illusion. It's not real, right? So every time we find ourselves in upset or frustration or that idea of scarcity, we can just go, hold on, I'm seeing something that actually isn't real, and I've collected evidence to prove that it's real, and now I'm ready to have evidence for something else.
And when we do that, that is opening ourselves up to receive new information,
yes,
new perspective,
mm-hmm,
new abundance.
And from that place of abundance, once we tap that inner well, that's what the world wants. The world is dying for the person that knows how deep their well is. And it's almost like the girl that's in love with her life and having the best time ever is the girl you want to hang out with at the party, right?
That's why I wanted to be your friend.
Yay! It's the same thing. It's like a person who walks through the room and already knows they're successful, right? They're listening to something on the inside. And that's why we really want to spend time in meditation in the morning. We really want to create enough, solitude in our life so that we can know the depths of that well. One thing that I think is really an issue is we weren't really taught self-care growing up, and it wasn't modeled for us what it looked like. In fact, often we saw in our families of origin and in our societies, people trying to unsuccessfully get their needs met from each other and unsuccessfully trying to get something from a world that they felt victimized by, right? And so stories were created about how things were unfair and unjust and you better get yours.
Yes, and also the story of martyrdom.
Yes.
Of, you have to just give so that you earn your keys to the kingdom. You earn your way into heaven. You earn your way into God's grace. You earn your way into the universe's approval. When we came deserving.
Right, that's right. I mean, that's the quickest way to burn out. I, as a recovering workaholic, I actually get angry when I hear people talk about, you gotta work hard, you gotta work. And I'm like, oh, well, that'll get you into a 12-step WA meeting is what that'll get you. You know what I mean? That we want to, the true abundance is found when we can learn how to step away from life and really care for ourselves so that when we are creating our art, our dharma in the world, our going after our sacred calling, we're doing it from a place where we've already taken care of our health, our mental stability, our spirit, our bodies, our well-being, right? And that is no one's job but our own.
Because so many of us are caught in a trap of overgiving,
mm-hmm,
we feel the need to constantly receive. And how many of us, listeners, be honest, on an average evening, let's say, are watching TV and eating and on your phone. There's never the time when you're only doing one thing, right? When was the last time you just sat and enjoyed your food and chewed it and tasted it and just looked at your plate while you were eating? I know myself as a New Yorker, that's not happening. You're eating on the run, you're on your phone, you're texting, you're emailing, and it's like we're constantly taking in so much stimulus that then it's too busy. There's too much chaos. We can't receive the downloads, the hits, the information that wants to come through us, the creative sparks, if we don't consciously make space for it, because life keeps getting faster and faster and more stimulation. It is up to us to say, I am worth the space of receiving.
Isn't it interesting that the conversation about giving and receiving is really a conversation about making space for your own self? So it's almost like the space of a cup or a bucket, right? that if we have a bucket, we need that space. The space must be there first.
Yeah.
In order for it to fill up, in order for that then to give to someone else. Well, but it starts with space.
That's right. It's like if you have, you know, a glass of orange juice, mm-hmm. and you're like, what I really want in my life is water. It's like, okay, I will give you water, but you got to dump out the juice.
Yes.
You know, you got to have an empty glass to pour something new into it, because otherwise you're just going to pour water into orange juice and it's still going to be orange juice.
That's correct. Oh, friends.
Friends. Giving and receiving.
There's this beautiful Brené Brown quote that I love that says, until we can receive with an open heart, we're never really giving with an open heart. When we attach judgment to receiving help, we knowingly or unknowingly attach judgment to giving help.
Ooh, Brené.
I know. So there's... You know, that conversation about openness, about space, is also one about letting go of the judgments we have around self-care, mm-hmm. around receiving. Because isn't that true that self-care is really about receiving from yourself?
That's right.
So how can you receive from the universe when you're not receiving from your own self? Like, you can't be the dominant hand of God giving to yourself.
And if your own self is depleted, then you can't give to yourself or anyone else. And the more you give to everyone else, the more resentment and expectation mm-hmm. you are going to create. You know, our new best buddy, Rob Bell, had this great podcast, and he talked about that transactionalism.
Yes.
Right? And it was all about, like, doing something not mm-hmm. for the sake of itself. And the Bhagavad Gita talks about doing actions for sacred service, but without any expectation of any fruit coming from that action. You give for the sake of giving's sake,
mm-hmm.
right? And Pete Rollins, who Kristen and I have such a lovely crush on. We can't wait to meet him one day.
No, Pete, if you're listening.
Pete, if you're listening, we love you.
We'll be very subtle about our crush. We won't be obvious about it. We promise.
I do not make that promise. but Pete talked about... I actually believe it was when he was talking with Rob on one of their podcasts. He was talking about what is a perfect gift. And he was talking about the energy of giving. And I loved this quote that he said. The perfect gift is that the person doesn't know they receive it. Nothing is given. And you don't know you've given it. And what I interpreted of what he was saying is, it's like the perfect gift is never in form.
No, the perfect gift is energy.
The perfect gift is energy. So I can give the gift of unconditional love. I can give the gift of patience. I can give the gift of forgiveness. And no one knows I've given it. You know, I can just be the space of love, be the space of patience, be the space of forgiveness. It's not something I actively say, by the way, Kristen, I'm giving you the gift of patience right now.
Right.
Right? It's just something that I embody. So I don't even know I've given it, and you don't know you've received it, but the energy between us has been gifted.
Yes.
By an energetic exchange that is beyond form. And that is how we are called to give. Because that is how the universe gives to us.
That is how the universe gives to us. I am having all the full body feelings right now. Like, friends, I wish you could see me. I'm like kind of writhing in my chair by what this girl just dropped. That is so good. Because, you know, often the tension that gets created, whether it's in relationships or in our careers, it starts with an energetic exchange that gets unclean.
That's right.
Right?
It gets muddy. It gets dirty. It gets tarnished. It gets expectant. It gets resentful. Mm-hmm. It gets that something is unsaid. Mm-hmm. It gets that something is needed.
Both people feel it. Yeah,
both people feel it. No one is saying it. No one can even identify what has happened. It's an energy. And we all know this. You have all had the experience of walking into a room and going, ooh, you could cut the tension with a knife.
Yes.
Someone just had an argument.
Uh-huh.
Or you know the energy of walking in and going, oh, I'm so welcome here. Oh, it feels so good in here. It's like the energy after an amazing yoga class. It's like they open the door and all the people in the hallway are like, what happened in that room? Right? Nothing happened except for an energetic exchange amongst human form.
So maybe this holiday, the biggest gift we can give is to be intentional about our energy. So like, whether it's first thing in the morning when we wake up or at night when we're going to bed, to kind of like energetically go through our relationships in our life, our most precious relationships, and also with our calling, with our dharma, with our career, with our work collaborations, and just say, I am here, and this is the energy that I want to bring. This is the energy that I want to bring, and it isn't dependent on what energy I'm getting back, right?
And it's so powerful. That's where, for me personally, the power of prayer has been so healing. There have been times when I've felt, whether it's competition or jealousy or just feelings with someone else, that person's not even expressed to me directly. I could just tell every time I spoke to them, I could just tell there was something there. There was an energy there that wasn't being spoken about, that wasn't clean. And so rather than writing a stern email and bringing it up, or, you know, calling them on the phone and saying, I feel this energy between us, I would just pray for them.
Yes.
I would pray, I want them to have the best life. And whatever energy they have hooked into me, let that energy hook into their higher power so they can get what they need. Because I am not the source of what they need. And it's just a distraction for them. And I want them to live the best life. Well, honestly, within usually a week of genuinely praying for someone in that way, the energy clears.
That, you know, it's this is the way we become energetic alchemists, right? When we go into that energetic space we have between us and another person, and whether it's their hooks are in us or our hooks are in them, right? And say, whoo, I'm going to hold a different energetic space. And by me consistently putting my focus on this energetic space, I'm going to watch it shift. I'm going to watch it turn. I don't expect it to, right? There's no need here, but I'm just holding a vision and a space that gives freedom, that allows something to move.
And know that only the ego will tell you that something is right and therefore something is wrong.
Yes.
So only the ego will say, well, that person is acting in a wrong way.
Yes.
That person, literally, when you say the words, owes me an apology, owes me. You can't receive.
That's right.
You cannot receive because now you are owed. That means there is debt to be paid. That means you are going to have debt in your bank account.
That's right.
Nobody owes us anything. We have self-responsibility to set boundaries with people that can't meet us where we feel we truly need to be met. But we have the power to offer patience, forgiveness, unconditional love, truth, freedom, beauty, the absolutes. We have the power to offer that as our gift. Now, whether the form changes or not, only the ego is concerned with that. But it frees our spirit to then get in touch and tap the absolute of creativity. So then we don't care who's mad at us. We're doing our dharma. We're doing what we're on this planet to do.
That is the truth. You know, you brought up the term special relationships today, which is from the Course in Miracles, and which said that anytime we think that anyone needs to act in any kind of certain way for us to be happy, we've basically made them God for us, right? We have put them in an unfair place where whenever we think our salvation comes in someone else's behavior being any certain way. And the Course in Miracles will say that actually the equivalent of that is death. Right? It's the it's death, it's hell, it's that feeling of suffering. Mm-hmm. And the only way, the way that we transform it is we give the relationship over to the divine and we are willing to see our brother or sister in their innocence.
Mm-hmm.
We had a girl today drop something major in Create, right?
That was the moment, you know, like Kristen and I show up to teach and it is like a gift that we give. Talk about a moment where I sat back in my chair and went, I can't believe I just received that.
Uh-huh.
I just showed up in this chair and I cannot believe that I received that. It was so powerful.
She was quoting Course in Miracles and she talked about, you know, that we... Like, oh.
Our friends are here.
Hi.
You're going to know our friends.
They're so gorgeous. We can't wait for you to meet them. Okay. So I'm going to super paraphrase this and maybe even for next sneaky podcast, we'll get it absolutely right. But basically, whenever we give out of any kind of limit or even receive out of limit, we're in our littleness.
Mm-hmm.
But that the entire universe, all of the cosmos, is asking for us to sit
in the throne of our magnitude.
And we're like, the throne of our magnitude?
That's the only place we ever want to be.
Right? I mean, so this girl said this today, and we all went,
what?
Oh. So, the gift we want to give you this holiday season is to know and own the true throne of your magnitude.
And we have another special gift for you. Our very best, dearest friend, Scotty, just walked through the door.
Scotty!
Podcast listeners.
Hi.
This is our dearest love, Scott McLean.
Hi.
Friends, you will want to know him. He is a writer, an actor, a very handsome man, director, producer.
And also a deep channel of his own.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Talk about us receiving.
I know. We are receiving all the things right now. We are talking about giving and receiving and doing so unconditionally.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to
Isn't
do it.
Isn't that the way to do it?
That's the way
we
to
think
do it.
That's our hypothesis.
We were talking about how that's how the universe gives to us.
Yeah.
So that's how we're called to give to others.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There is more magic that happens from giving unconditionally than conditionally.
Mm-hmm. And we're magic makers.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do.
That's what we're here to do. It's almost like when we give unconditionally, then we allow the universe to provide the magic. Right? Because the receiving doesn't need to come back from that channel.
Yes.
Right? In fact, you posted this week. You posted this week. And Marianne Williamson talking about the law of divine compensation.
Yes.
And she said sometimes you're doing your calling, you're doing your dharma, but money comes through another channel. Right? So it's almost like the universe is paying you through another channel for doing this thing. So that's why it's like, and the same thing happens in relationships sometimes, right? You're giving to, so you have a friend in need and you're really giving over here, and the universe comes through another person to surprise you with all the bounty and goodies.
That was the great story someone told in Crete today. There's this great story about George Clooney. When he was a struggling actor at one time in his life, and many friends, you know, gave him $5, said, come sleep on my couch, here, let me buy you a meal. And so when he got to a place of abundance in his career, he had those 12 friends come to his house, and he had black briefcases filled with $1 million each for each of those 12 people who had assisted him along the way. And one of the friends said, I cannot accept this. And so Clooney said, well, if one of you doesn't take it, none of you get to have it. So, of course, he had to get over his unworthiness of receiving $1 million, but he could only do it because it was in a way that other people were receiving and would not receive because of his unreceiving. So we want to look at, in what ways are we resistant to receiving?
Yes.
Whether we think we're not worthy of it, we think we haven't earned it yet, we think we have to be a better person. We were born deserving.
And when we don't allow ourselves to receive, right? When we don't take that gift, everyone then misses out.
Everyone misses out.
Yes. I just had a musical produced.
Come
over. Get closer to the mic.
Well, Fairy Tale Christmas is a musical that was produced that I wrote with my father. It was produced in Southern Utah this Christmas, and the premise is that Santa Claus got rid of the naughty and nice list.
We started the Santa Claus and the naughty and nice list.
He got rid of the naughty and nice list, and he's going to give every child in the world a present this year, even the naughty ones.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't understand this. The elves are in revolt. They've been overworked because there used to be coal. But now that everybody gets a gift, the elves have been so overworked that they had to form a union called the Northern Elf and Reindeer Association, the NERA, and. Why do we make so many toys this year? We haven't had a break since Mother's Day. Do you have a master plan? We don't really understand, you know. And Santa Claus basically says, I made a promise to help every child believe that they are, every one of them, gifts to this world. And I can't, but I can't give them that gift if even one child is left out.
You guys, Scotty McLean, he's as good looking as he is deep.
Yeah.
So,
it's true.
In closing, actually, Scott, I have a request. I have a desire. You know Santa Claus's final monologue?
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind sharing that with our listeners as our way of closing out this holiday season podcast?
Yes.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah, well, he says... So he finds I won't give up the in the play in the musical they find a really wonderful way to make sure that every person in the world gets a present this Christmas that's meant just for them, and it happens in a way that they didn't plan, that they felt like a mistake, and felt like it was going to lead to doom, but they took a risk and everyone says, so how did it go? How did we do? And people who are villains in fairy tales end up helping deliver presents. And it's this whole thing. And so Santa Claus is asked, how did it go? You know, what's the verdict? And he says, it was better than we ever could have planned. You all did so much more than simply lend a hand. Now, I want to tell you all, and I need this to land, how wonderful you were, and how proud I am. You have a power beyond belief, and it is never out of your reach. There is no dream that can't come true. It may not work out how you thought, but no good work is for naught. There may be those who laugh and tease, and I have known my share of these. But they can't see how all you've done will lead to greater things to come, as I believe the stars that shine so bright can lead us by their guiding light. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Oh, we believe in you, Scotty McLean.
We believe in you.
Believe
in you.
And, like, what I love about your musical is that Santa Claus telling the villains, the ones that the world would want to judge as wrong,
right,
how perfect and beautiful he sees them as.
Yes.
So with his vision, with his energetic alchemy, right, he raises up the best out of them.
Yeah.
Unconditional giving.
Unconditional giving.
Speaking of raising the best, guess who else just walked in?
It's a Christmas party.
John DeVisi!
You may remember John DeVisi from our Raw Sexy Spiritual podcast, but now, you guys, the apartment is filled full of holiday cheer.
Good-looking men and Christmas candles and Kristen and I.
So I believe we're going to have to say goodbye.
We're going to sign off and eat Christmas cookies and live dreams.
Yes, and just know that you're in our hearts and in our minds. And we are so proud of you, and we want you to know there is no dream that cannot come true.
We wish you the happiest holidays, whatever you are celebrating, wherever you are celebrating, and we thank you for an amazing, amazing year. We love you.
Goodbye. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!